I'll be reading from Psalm chapter 33, verse 12. Psalm 33, 12. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very glad to be here. I'm very thankful to be back at Sandy Hill. I'm very thankful for the opportunities I've had in the past. I'm certainly thankful for this opportunity that I have here to be with you today. So nice to see fellow brothers and sisters in Christ from a different area. So nice to see those of like precious faith. Lots happened since I was here last. New president has come into power. And that new president had a slogan or a phrase that people on both sides took very strong stances on. And that slogan was, "Make America Great Again." Make America Great Again. Now, people kind of fell into two camps when it came to that. They fell into two camps. One camp was, as I look at America, I think it has fallen to some degree in whatever aspect or another. And I think it needs to be restored to some previous place that it had once been. And then some people looked at that and they said, well, has America ever been great in the first place? To be honest with you, I don't care, but this is what I do care about, is what makes a great nation. What makes a great nation? What makes a great nation in the sight of God? And as we analyze this, we should be able to see whether America is a great nation or not. Has it ever been? Will it ever be? Could it be great again? Or was it ever great in the first place? Number one, I think if America is going to be great again, or if it's ever going to be great in the first place, the first thing that we need is Bible authority. Or God's authority. Or respect for God in general. When we look around our country, what do we see? When I look back at the documents of history, when I look at our founding fathers, they were certainly not ashamed of God. He was in every document, every legislation ever laid through, and we have to ask ourselves, is there respect for God? Is there respect for Bible authority? Is there respect for the book that he has laid forth? They were not afraid to reference God in their speech. They were not afraid to reference God in their law. They were not afraid to say that I am serving the living God. But the question is that our standard in our country today? Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2, it says, "But on this one I will look, on him with a poor and contrite spirit, and who him who trembles at my words." Do we tremble at the words of God anymore? Or is God just put off as this figure that's written this book that has no power and no influence in our lives? Do people tremble at the words of God? Do they tremble at the words of God? The God who has created all things, the universe, and everything that it entails. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, "Since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being seen through the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." There is no excuse to dismiss that there is a God and that he has authority in our lives. Are we in a nation that doesn't respect God? See, the problem I feel is that we have the medicine. We have the great physician, Jesus Christ. He has brought the authority. He's brought the doctrine. He's brought everything we need. He has brought the medicine. And you know what people do is they laugh at the medicine. They laugh at it. They will literally laugh at the medicine and the authority which comes from God. Make America great again. We have to have the respect for God. We have to have respect for the authority of God. But we have to ask ourselves, is that something that we see as we go in and out of our daily lives? The problem is, if someone says, "Let's look through the Bible, let's look what God says," they shut you out. "I don't want to hear what God says." And you know why they don't want to hear what God says? It's because God in our country has become God itself. The God in the country is God itself. It's not God out of the Bible. It's God itself. It's what do I want to do. It's what I think is right. It's what I feel. It's what I think. And the Bible has been put aside, shut, and locked away because the authority of God is not here. The Bible reading that was given is Psalm 33 and verse 12. I just want to focus on that first bit. It said, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Who is our nation's God? Who is your God? Because it's easy to point the finger, but who is your God? Do you respect Bible authority? What the Bible says, do you do? Or are there some things in the Bible that you just disregard and say, that's for someone else and not me? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 4, it says, for whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures, we might have hope. Do we listen to God? Do we listen to all of God? Do we listen to the New Testament? Do we also take lessons from the Old Testament? Do we listen to God anymore? Or have we decided, I'm not going to listen to God, I'm going to listen to the God of self? If I feel it's right, it must be right. If I feel that it's wrong, it must be wrong. And we go into these arbitrary standards, and what we realize is we live in a place where opinion is king and the opinion is self. Where is the authority of God? Do people believe that the Bible is the inspired Word of God? 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It's all there, it's all laid out, and yet people will ignore it and say, no, not my God. Not my God. Because they don't want to be down to anyone. They don't want to answer to anyone. So we know that judgment day, what will surely happen. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, it says, he's given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. You can't get much better than that. He's given us all things that pertain to life, but he's also given us all things that pertain to godliness. God has set us up. But have we set God out of our lives? Have we set God out of our schools? Have we set God out of our families? Have we set God out of our relationships? Have we set God out of every place we could set God's authority out of? We've shut it out. Who is the God? Who is your God? Who is the God that you serve? See, our politicians, they say that they have all the answers, but the thing that I don't hear coming out of their mouth is, the answer is God. The answer is God and His authority. If we just introduce half of what the Bible teaches, we would flip around overnight. Because we have rejected Bible authority. If it comes from God, it surely can't be good. If it comes from God, we can't have it in our schools. If it comes from God, we can't have it in our prisons. We can't have it anywhere. Because it's from God. See, the world can do what they want. We can point the finger all we want at the world, but we have to ask ourselves as Christians, do we respect God? Do we have that authority? Do we have that obedience to our Father in heaven? But what's happened is, it's kind of like in Judges 17 and verse 6, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. If I feel like it's right, it must be right. If I feel like it's wrong, it must be wrong. And what we fall to is a country of opinion where there is no standard where we can say, that is right, that is wrong, it's just whatever what someone feels. Do you, in your own individual life, respect Bible authority? Do you respect God's authority? That if God says it, you do it. Or do you just scratch out, cut out, throw out any of the pieces of the Bible that you don't like? Well, I don't like that part, so I'm going to throw it away. I don't like that part, so I'm going to cut it out. I don't like that part, so I'm going to lock it away so that I may never have to deal with it again. Unfortunately, it will come back in the judgment. If America is to ever be great, or if it's ever to be great again, what we need is a respect for the Bible and a respect for God. And we have to look around and ask if it's around us today, not only in our world and our society, but ourselves. Ourselves. Because that's what it really falls down to, because I can't control anyone else, but do I respect Bible authority? Number two is Bible knowledge. Does America have a respect for the book? I believe when it does, it's a better place to live, we have better neighbors, we have a better society as a whole, when the Bible is taught and loved. Bible knowledge. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 6 through 9, it says, and these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and you shall walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and shall be on the forelock between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. Where's the Bible? Where's the Bible knowledge? It says, teach it to your children. It says, when you sit down to eat. It says, when you lay down to sleep. It says, when you rise up. It says, it should be on the foreheads of your eyes. That you should have the Bible in you. A knowledge of the Bible. A knowledge of God's teaching. Do you have a Bible knowledge? Does the society have a Bible knowledge? Teach it to your children. And let me tell you a little secret. As Lord blesses me, hopefully children someday, but we'll see. Not everyone's blessed with that opportunity. Are you teaching it to your children? Are you teaching the Bible to your children? Do they know the Bible? Because let me tell you a little secret, being a school teacher. They're not getting it in the schools. They're not getting it in the schools. Now, I know that's probably a big surprise, but they are not getting the Bible in the schools. So if you're not getting in the Bible, they're not getting it anywhere. They're not going to get it in the schools. They're not going to get it from your... They're going to have to get it from you. Where's the Bible knowledge in our country? It says teach it diligently to your children. It says when you rise up, when you lay down, the Bible should be part of our lives and in our lives. But the question is it there? Bible knowledge. You know, Jesus kind of pokes at Bible knowledge from time to time in the scriptures. He basically says, you just don't know the Bible. In Matthew chapter 19 and verse 4, it says, he answers them and says, have you not read? And he does that on multiple occasions. Have you not read? And when we walk around our country and we look at people and their Bible knowledge, do we ask that? Have you not read what's in the Bible? We have people walking under the banner of Christianity and nothing could be farther from the truth. So people don't know the difference because they don't read their Bible. Because they've laid them aside, they've locked them away. Paul gets on people for their Bible knowledge. In Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 12, he says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. How's Bible knowledge in our country? But it's easy to point the finger. How's Bible knowledge as you as an individual? How's Bible knowledge in your family? How's Bible knowledge with your friends? How's Bible knowledge at Sandyville Church of Christ? How's Bible knowledge with Kyle Lancaster? How's Bible knowledge with my sons and my daughters? How's Bible knowledge with my grandkids? Is Bible knowledge in our country? Can it be found? Hosea chapter 4, verses 6 through 7, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will also reject you, because being the priest for me, because you have forgotten the law of your God, I will forget your children. The more they increase, the more they sin against me. I will change their glory into shame. It's interesting what Hosea says. It says they're destroyed because of lack of knowledge. They rejected God. It says because they reject God, he'll forget their children. But basically, it's because we have forgot God that our kids won't have any knowledge of God. They won't have any knowledge of God because it's not taught anymore. It's not taught in the schools. I can tell you that for sure. I'm there. It's not there. If you're not teaching it, no one is. You think the world's going to teach your kids about the Bible? No, they'll teach you about atheism, evolution, all those things. And that's why our school system, in my opinion, is just a producer of atheism. Because if you do not teach your children the Bible, by the end of their schooling, they'll come out atheists. You know why? Because they'll get zero Bible in the school. That's why. Bible knowledge. How is it in your family? How is it with you as an individual? Where can it be found? I always thought to myself, if there was an entrance exam into heaven, I don't know how we'd be doing. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15 says, study diligently to show thyself approved. I don't know. Do you get a cold sweat when I say that? Entrance exam into heaven? I'm not saying there is going to be one, and I'm not saying, I'm just saying, how's Bible knowledge? Because if we don't know the precepts of God, we cannot teach the precepts of God, and let me tell you, they aren't getting it in the school. So the only place they can get it from us, so if we don't know our Bible, how is anyone else ever going to? Bible knowledge. Hosea chapter 8, verse 12, it says, I have written for him great things of my law, but they have considered it a strange thing. God's written it all down, and what our society does, they look at Bible knowledge now, and they say, man, that's strange. And you know what? If you follow the Bible, you're going to be perceived as strange. I know I am. I've received it strange, because I follow the teachings of the Bible, because I make it a president in my life. I'm strange, because I do the things which God has told me to do. But that's what the Bible tells us, 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. It says we're his own special people. In some version it says his peculiar people. Are you peculiar? Are you strange? Because if you follow the Bible, you will be. There's no doubt in my mind. In Judges chapter 2 and verse 10 it says, when all the generations had been gathered to their fathers, another generation arose after them that did not know the Lord nor the work which he had done for Israel. See, there's an obligation on us. There's a preacher one time who said we're one generation away from apostasy. You know why? Apostasy of breaking away. We're one generation away. You know why? Because each generation has to teach the next. Each generation has to teach the next, and if you don't, guess what? They're not going to know it, and they're going to fall away. They're not going to know the Bible. They're not going to know about God. And when you look around our country, how's Bible knowledge going? But it's easy to point the finger at how's Bible knowledge in your family. Do you know the things that you should know? When I look around at Bible literacy in our country, it kind of sickens me to some degree. I've heard some stories from individuals. There was a story one time where an individual, they're talking about Saul and the conversion of Saul, you know, in Acts. And the individual thought that it was the conversion story of King Saul from the Old Testament. Where's Bible knowledge? Now, some people might think I'm being rough, but I always try to do it this way. Did your parents know more Bible than you? Did your grandparents know more Bible than you? Did your great-grandparents know more Bible than you? And I think what you do is you start looking at that, and what you start to see is a deterioration. I don't have to know as much Bible as my parents. I don't need to know as much Bible as my grandparents. And we look back at them, and they could quote Scripture, and they could do all these things, and we think that that is not what we should be following as an example, and we keep diluting it. And we think if we're just one step above the world, we're good. Well, the world doesn't know the story of Noah. I know the story of Noah. I'm great. No, that's not how we measure as Christians. We measure ourselves to Christ. We measure ourselves to the teachings of Christ. Our measuring is not the world. Because what I think is happening in America is America is thinking, and many of our brothers and sisters in Christ are getting dragged down with the world. Well, at first, everyone knew about Jesus. Everyone knew the story of Noah and Adam and Eve. Well, now the world doesn't, and we're getting dragged down with them. Our Bible knowledge is getting dragged down because we're following the world. And guess what? They're not going to a good place. They're not going to a good place, but yet we're following them. As the ship is sinking, we won't say, get out the lifeboat and let's rise above and walk on water. Instead, we'll say, if I beat the world in Bible knowledge just by this much, I'm good. That's how we do it. That's how we measure. That's not how we should measure as Christians. When you look in the past, you'll see amazing things of what our brothers and sisters in Christ could do. They could quote chapters of Scripture. They could quote they knew it all. And yet we think that it's a different standard. We look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 11, and it talks about the Bereans and how they studied daily. Oh, that's a strange idea, studying daily. And we think, well, that was just for the Bereans. That was for them to study daily, but me, I don't have to study my Bible daily. You better. Because the world keeps sinking down, and the question is, are you going to follow? Are you going to follow the world? Are you going to follow? And the psalmist wrote Psalm 119, verse 11, says, your word I have hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against you. I propose to you, the word's not hidden in our heart anymore. You know where it's at? It's in our phone. That's where the word of God is. The word of God is no longer in our hearts. It's in our phones. You know where else it is? Hidden and locked in the pages of the Bible because we won't read it and apply it to ourselves. That's where the Bible is hidden now. It's not hidden in our hearts. And it's not talking about that blood pump. It's talking about our mind. Is the Bible hidden in our mind? Number one, if America is to be great again, we need Bible authority or God's authority or respect for God. Number two, we need Bible knowledge. And number three, we need Bible morality. Bible morality. I know I'm young, but I've heard stories of individuals, you know, when they showed up to work, you know what they did? They actually worked. I've heard of times that people were actually honest and they would tell people the truth, you know. And I've heard of times of kindness where if something happened to someone in the community, everyone would wrap up. And I've heard about stories of selflessness. And I'm not saying that these don't exist today, particularly among our brothers and sisters in Christ, but I'm saying, are they there as much as they were in the past? Where's Bible morality? It's been rejected. It's been turned away. In Deuteronomy chapter 17, verses 18 through 20, it says, also it shall be, when you sit on the throne of his kingdom, that you shall write for himself a copy of the law in a book, from the one before the priest, the Levites. And it shall be with him, and he shall read it all the days of his life. And he shall may learn the fear of God, and be careful to observe all the words of the law and the statutes. that his heart may not be lifted above his brethren, that he may not turn aside the commandment to the right hand or to the left, that he may prolong the days of the kingdom, he and his children in the midst of Israel. He's talking about the king of Israel. You know what they said that the king of Israel needed to do? They needed to get some paper, and they needed to write down the laws. And you know what the king was supposed to do? Read the laws, read the Bible, read the Old Testament every day. And his reason for it, so he doesn't raise above his brethren, that he doesn't have the people go off to the right or to the left. Is this a description of our politicians today? Is this a description of our government today? Does our government, do they read the Word of God every day? But the question is to us, do we read the Bible every day? Do we try to apply a standard on someone else that we don't hold ourselves? Because I tell you, they're not going to go where we don't lead. Well, the Christians aren't even reading their Bible every day. Why would I? What are we going to do? We've got to stop pointing the finger at everybody else and say, I've got to take some responsibility, and I've got to be the Christian that I should be. We need to understand that our government is a reflection of the people. I, personally, am not a huge fan of our government right now. It's a reflection of the majority of the people based off the system which we have. Right? It's based off of majority. And I tell you, I don't like the way the majority is leading us right now. I'm not a huge fan. But you know why? When the Supreme Court ruled on homosexual marriage, that Obama lit up the White House in rainbow colors, you know why he could do that? Because he knew people wouldn't care. That's why he did it. You think of George Washington or Thomas Jefferson, you think that they would have tried, even if they had the technology, to light up the White House rainbow colors when that passed by the Supreme Court? No, because the majority of the people would say, no, that's ridiculous. But the government that we have is a reflection of the people. I think it's a sad reflection of the people, but I think it's a reflection of the people. I can't control everybody else, but you know what I can control? I can control myself and doing the things that God wants me to do. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11 says, if anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it as with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified. Through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and dominion forever. Amen. We have to watch out for ourselves. We have to watch out for our brothers and sisters in Christ, that we understand that morality is important. And if we as Christians are not exhibiting what we should be, do you think the world is going to do the same? We've got to be that example, even under persecution. The psalmist wrote in Psalm 43, verse 3, it says, oh, send out your light and your truth. Let them lead me, let them bring me to your holy hill and to your tabernacle through preaching, teaching, and praying, and acting. That's how we have to do that, to be the light. Send the light, send the truth. And the only way it's going to go out is if we as Christians say, I will have respect for God. I will not use the Lord's name in vain like so many people do in our society, to have respect for God. I will read God's Word because I love Him, I respect Him, and I know what His Word is and the power that it has, and I will resemble the Christian qualities that God wants me to be. See, being a Christian is not an extracurricular activity. It's a lifestyle. It's what we're doing. Every day, the eyes are on us to see how we're acting and what we're doing. The choices that we make, what we do, what we say, and everything that we do in our life. The eyes are on us. We could talk about how morality has been degraded in this country, and to be honest with you, it would be a long, long conversation. Because we could talk about so many topics and all the things that are going on, but the reality is I can't control all of that. I wish I could, but I can control the way that I live my life and what I do throughout my life. We probably have more people in our country today that will go to the movies every week than they'll go to church. And I'm not even saying those places they're going to church, they're getting much Bible when they go. You know what I mean? I'm saying a lot of these people that show up to places that are so-called church, they're not even getting Bible anymore. It's like one verse, and then we're done. You know, we'll cut it off there, that's enough Bible for the day. You got your one verse in, that's it. That's not what I see in the Bible. That's not what I see Christians acting in the Bible. We still have a chance. Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30, it says, therefore I will judge you, O house of Israel, everyone according to his ways, says the Lord. Repent and turn from all your transgressions so that the iniquity may not be your ruin. What is the ruin of a nation? It's sin. And when sin is rampant, there's not much so that we can just live our Christian life. It's hard. I'm not saying doing this is easy. I'm not saying respect God, have a better Bible knowledge, and do the things that you know are right morally in accordance to God's Word. It's not easy. We have to be resolved as Joshua. You know, Joshua's in that situation, and it looks like a lot of people are trying to turn it. He says, yeah, you can serve those gods if you want, but he says, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We will serve the Lord. Who are you going to serve this day? We can point our fingers at our society all we want, but if we as Christians are not being the light that we're supposed to be by respecting God, having the Bible knowledge that we should, and having the morality and acting the way that we should, there'll be no change. Until we read it. Until we read it. That's what we'll have to do. There's no way out of this mess now except for us saying we will be Christians. It doesn't matter what they do to us. It doesn't matter what they say to us. I will be a Christian. Will you be a Christian? Will you do those things that God wants you to do? Will you respect God's authority? Will you get to know the Bible better? Because we can all certainly grow. And will we have and carry the doctrine of Christ with us wherever we go? The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, it says, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. The verse before it talks about what we cannot do. Says, if the salt loses flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It has been good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by man. If America is ever to be great again, or ever to be great in the first place, doesn't matter. It is, number one, we have to look at ourselves. If there's going to be a great country, guess what? It has to have a great people. If there's going to be a great country, there has to be great people. And if you realize that there has to be a great people to go along with a great country, you have to realize you're one of those people. You're one of the people. You have to be great, not in an arrogant way, but in a way that we are respecting the authority of God, that we know our Bible, and that we're doing the things that God wants us to do in whatever situation. If you're subject to the Lord's invitation this morning, He offers it to all. It's not our invitation, it's the Lord. He's the one that shed His blood and purchased the church, and He's given everyone a great opportunity to come and follow Him. He told us that we can hear the gospel. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. He tells us we need to believe. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We have to repent and say, we're not going to live the way the world's going to live anymore. We're going to respect God's authority. We're going to increase our Bible knowledge. We're going to live the way that God wants us to live. We've got to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and be baptized for the remission of our sins, and we're out of the Lord's church. You need the prayers of the church, but we can assist you in any way. We ask you to please come as we stand and sing.